This is Doug Miller. Are you or have you ever been confused about what God is doing in and with your life? If so, welcome to the club. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back again with you, Bible in hand, and to be able to bring you from the Word of God the very truth, which gives light and life and enlightens and leads out of confusion. The truth. That's what we need to know. So bring your Bibles. Come along. Open up to the 10th chapter of Job and call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to this end, we absolutely require the assistance and support of the Lord's people. I beg you, write Dialogue down and pray for us. Pray that the Lord will send this broadcast out with power. Pray that it will find open doors and open hearts. Pray that the Word of God, like an arrow, will go to its mark. Pray that souls be saved and lives changed. Pray that the people of God be built up and edified and encouraged. Pray for us. Tell others about us. And as I always say, we would love to hear from you. Always a pleasure to hear from our listeners. And our mailing address is Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Okay. Now, if you don't like to write with the ink and paper, you may email us, dialogueministries.org. Belay my last. That was our webpage I gave you. So, well, let me just go ahead and give it to you. Dialogueministries.org will get you onto our webpage. And you can pull that down and read about Dialogue and listen to the broadcasts. And all of that's absolutely free. Now, let's get to the email address. That's dialogueministries@sbcglobal.net. dialogueministries@sbcglobal.net. If you want to email us, that's fine. If you wish to call and talk to me, let me give you a phone number here. It is area code 405-535-9089. Okay? 405-535-9089. You will get a recording, and you'll leave a message, and I'll get back with you. Now, a couple of other things. Right now, even as I speak, our conference is going on at Olivet Baptist Church, Northwest 10th and Klein in Oklahoma City. And so you have time, if you get down there, you will miss probably the first hour and a half, but you can get down there, and we have a noon meal, and that's absolutely free. So, and if you don't want to come to the noon meal, why, come on down for the afternoon session. We'll be down at Olivet there until about 5 o'clock this afternoon. And we are discussing the seven churches of Revelation. I think you'll find that rather profitable, and I encourage you to come on out. I've been saying all along you need to RSVP if you're going to eat lunch with us, but even now there's still plenty of time for you to get out, certainly to the afternoon session. Now, another little tidbit. A week from today, on May the 4th, I will be at the Guthrie Bible Chapel in Guthrie, Oklahoma. That is on Oklahoma Street, west of the Masonic Temple. And really, if you go up Central in Guthrie and turn east on Oklahoma, and you'll see. If you go right ahead on Oklahoma, you'd run right up into the door of the Masonic Temple. But, oh, a few blocks down there, over on the left, on the north side of Oklahoma Street, you will see the Guthrie Bible Chapel. It's an old building, really a beautiful old building of some historical significance. And we will be, I'll be in there ministering beginning at 10 o'clock in the morning. And if you are in the Guthrie area, we welcome you. Or if you're in the Oklahoma City area or anywhere around there and want to drive, you come on to the Guthrie Bible Chapel and we will be there all day. We'll begin at 10 o'clock in the morning. A meal will be served and we'll end that afternoon, 4 or 5 o'clock. I don't know exactly when. And as to the subject that we will be dealing with, well, let me give you a little something to think about. It'll be largely about the Jews and the Greeks and resurrection and how they have affected us in this regard. Okay, enough of the announcements. Let's look into the 10th chapter of Job. And at the very first, look at verse 15. We ended up with verse 15 last time. And in verse 15, we have this statement from Job at the very end of that verse. I am full of confusion. Therefore, see thou mine affliction. Now, Job is talking to God here. I am full of confusion. I wonder. I said at the first, you know, if you're confused, welcome to the club. Well, maybe not all of you are confused. Certainly there have been times in my life when I was very confused about what God was doing and why he is doing it. And I just wonder if any of you out there are this way. You're going through difficult times and you really don't understand why or what God is doing. You may have been the victim of some very bad teaching, and let me tell you what I mean when I say that. You may have been taught that if you get saved, everything is going to just be nice and a bed of roses, and forward you go. And in fact, I want to point out to you that Jesus said that if any man, and I think we can safely assume that this is women too, wishes to follow him, let him, said Jesus, take up his cross daily. If you don't take up the cross, he said, you cannot be his disciple. Just that simple. I wonder, it is so easy to shirk that responsibility, to run away from that responsibility, or even to forget and to not deal with what he meant by that. So let's just talk about that a minute. Here is Job in confusion. Now, in many ways, you might say, here is a man who has been crucified, not really, but in a figurative sense, here is a man who has been nailed up and is in pain and agony and suffering. And he doesn't understand why at all. He hasn't done anything to deserve this. Let me ask you something. I trust and I hope that all of you listening to me understand that when our Lord was crucified and raised up on that cross on Golgotha and was hanging there between two thieves in agony and crying out in agony, I hope you all realize he had done nothing to deserve that. He had done nothing worthy of death. This was the beloved Son of the living God, in whom there was no guile, in whom there was no sin. And yet there he hung. There he hung, and of course he had been delivered over to his enemies, to individuals who were wicked and evil men, who now had crucified him and believed in doing that they were getting rid of him. Well, they weren't, of course. But here now we have this man, Job. He says, I am full of confusion. Well, I want you to think about something, and I want to ask you to just hold your place here in Job 10, and I want you to go over with me to Romans, to the book of Romans in the New Testament. You might say, well, Romans in the New Testament? Yeah, Romans in the New Testament. And to the 12th chapter of Romans. Now, I hope that all of you listening to me are familiar with Romans. If you are not, you are missing one of the great life-changing works that you will ever encounter and read. And if you are in a church that is Christ-exalting and Bible-believing, I hope that your preacher has taken some time to take you through the book of Romans. If you have gone through the book of Romans, you will eventually come to chapter 12, and you will notice that there is only one place in the book of Romans up to chapter 12. That is from verse 1 of chapter 1 up through the 11th chapter and the 36th verse of Romans. There's only one place in there that Paul ever tells anyone to actually do anything in 11 chapters, and that is in the 6th chapter, where he talks about that we ought to planted in the likeness of his, that we ought to, well, let me just read it to you instead of stumbling around here. In verse 11 of chapter 6, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, that is the only place in 11 chapters where Paul ever tells people to do anything. The whole rest of that time, all 11 chapters from chapter 1 up through chapter 11, are given over to doctrine and to Paul virtually telling us who and what we are in Christ and what God has done by us. Finally, in chapter 12, and for the rest of the book, he gets around to saying what we ought to be doing. So let's see what he says here, and let's see how we can relate it back to the 10th chapter of Job. Look at what Paul writes to the Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, there are two verses that I think are absolutely critical to every Christian walking this earth who has any desire at all to please God the Father, to please and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice how that second verse ends. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen to me, and listen very carefully. How many of you out there really, genuinely, would say to me right now, I understand what God's will for my life is? How many of you, be honest now, would say, I really don't know. I'm in a lot of confusion. I pray about God's will, and I ask the Lord to show me and to lead me in His will, but really, I'm in a lot of confusion about this. I want you to look at these two verses. There is something that goes before knowing God's will for our lives, and it is the presentation of the body as a living sacrifice. Look at this. The Lord Jesus presented Himself a living sacrifice. As you've heard me say on here before, He went into the fire alive. He hung on that cross, and He died up there. And He said, if anyone wants to come after Me, he will have to deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. That cross is nothing less than an implement of death. It is self-death. You are, if you take that cross up, presenting yourself a living sacrifice to God. That's exactly what you're doing. Unless and until you do that, it is my opinion, I could be wrong on this, but I don't think I am. It is my opinion that you will never really know or understand God's will for your life when it gets down to the particulars. Look at this. He says, Paul writes here, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There are things, if I say to you the will of God, what is God's will for my life as an individual? What is God's will for your life as an individual? Well, in many ways, God's will for my life is exactly the same as God's will for your life. God has, in this very book we are looking at, given us many instructions about what we ought to be doing and what He wants us to do. Now, if you say, well, if I say to you, are you doing it? Are you doing what He has shown you? If you say to me, well, not right, really, or maybe I don't really know. Listen to me now. This is important. It is important for you to stay in this book, to get good, solid teaching, and to know and to understand what God is directing you to do in this book. Because God doesn't tell you in this book where you are to go to school if you're a young person, or whom you are to marry, or what kind of job you should have. He doesn't tell you that. The important thing for you is to be faithful in doing the things He has told you to do. And if you are not being faithful in doing the things He has told you to do in this book, then in a general sense, then why would you expect God in a particular sense to guide you? You're not doing what He's told you to do in the first place. Why would He get more specific? It is the one who has presented her body as a living sacrifice. It is the one who is into this book, who is saturated with it, who is looking at it, and who is being faithful to the things he or she knows to do, who gets further guidance and further leading. Now, once again, a lot of the confusions that arise in Christian lives, a lot of the confusion has to do not so much with the fact that we're just confused. It's that we are not being faithful to what God has told us to do. Now, we go back to Job. We spend a lot of time looking somewhere else, but let's just read some of Job here now. Here is a man who confesses that he's in confusion. He doesn't know what's going on or why it's happening. He has no idea what God is doing in his life. Let's read some of this. Mine affliction, he talks about confusion and affliction at the end of verse 15. For it increaseth. Thou huntest me as a fierce lion. And again, thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. Thou renewest thy witness against me, and increasest thy indignation upon me. Changes and war are against me. Wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Oh, that I had given up the ghost, and no eye had seen me. I should have been as though I had not been. I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. Are not my days few? Cease then and let me alone. What a prayer. This guy's talking to God. Cease then and let me alone, that I may take comfort a little before I go whence I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, the land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness. Here is a man whom we encountered in the very first chapter of this book and found out God says of him, he is the most righteous man on the face of the earth. Here is a man that upon whom, so to speak, the roof has caved in. We know why, because we know what was going on behind the scenes. He doesn't know. But he is in pain and agony, and he is hurting, and he is absolutely at a loss to know what God is doing at all. Is he in confusion? Yes. Is he in affliction? Yes. Can he look beyond this? And can he say, I mean, you go back and read what Paul says about himself. When I am weak, then am I strong. You know, in the second chapter of in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul talked about this thorn in the flesh that he had been given. And he says, you know, three times I beseech the Lord to take it away from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, I most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, he said, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. There was Paul's approach, and we see that as compared to the approach of Job. Which one are we, and where should we be? Well, we should be right over there with Paul, shouldn't we? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue. Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.